Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Inspired by the recent jaw-dropping revelation from one producer, Dave, we now have a very healthy and vigorous discussion taking place on our social media about whether or not Americans should or should not be wearing pajamas to go to the grocery store and run errands. Now, let's be honest. It is the United States of America, and unless your grocery store prohibits you from wearing pajamas, like for instance, in some places you have to wear shoes to enter a store. In some places you cannot go into a restaurant if you're not wearing a coat. Now, fancy restaurant, obviously, but if it's a private business and they require a particular level of dress code, well, then that's understandable. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about the grocery store or Walmart, where right now you wear a mask and otherwise you can wear whatever you want. So many of you have responded about this idea of wearing pajamas to run your errands. So producer Dave and I conjured up a poll. Who doesn't need this on a Thursday morning? I definitely do. In fact, it's really a low blow by producer Dave. And honestly, I don't even think it was his fault, but I'm going to blame him for it now. To be talking about pajamas when I've had the worst sleeping week ever. And so all I really want is to be in pajamas. But I still will not wear them to the grocery store or to walk my dog in a couple hours. That's not happening either. Mostly because it's in the teens in my neighborhood right now with the wind chills, and my pajamas would not be offering enough protection from that wind. But we have put a poll up. So on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then I'm going to retweet here, A-Law Radio, where do you wear your pajamas poll? That's not what we talked about.
I felt it needed some more explaining, so where do you wear your pajamas poll?
Okay, all right. So the options are, and he only gave you two. There are two kinds of people in this world. You either wear your pajamas only in your own private residence, or maybe in your car, okay, but not in public, or you are completely comfortable wearing them to the grocery store and out where the world can see you. Again, this is the United States of America, so wear your damn pajamas wherever you are allowed to. No one's telling you what you should or shouldn't do, but I believe you might be able to divide our great population into two. I mean, we divide into two over about a lot of other stuff too, so why not pajamas? And no, it's not red versus blue. I refuse to believe that maybe only red folks wear their pajamas to the grocery store and blue folks do not. So that's not the kind of division we're looking at here. So take our poll. I am really interested in the results because I honestly don't know how the majority of our listening audience feels. Dave is taking this personally, though, and if you side with him about wearing pajamas to the grocery store, he is going to not be able to wipe this stupid grin off his face. I know it.
I just think that America's going to side with me.
Why?
I think that
I don't want to see men walking around in their pajamas. I just got to be honest.
That's fair. I just think it, especially where we are now, everyone's spending so much time at home.
Okay, so let me just interject here. Pajamas are usually less restrictive, if you catch my drift. So that's another reason why I'm not sure I need to see men specifically walking around in their PJs. Like, what happens if there's a wardrobe malfunction?
I mean, then that's a user error. Because that wouldn't happen to producer Dave. But I think that people just want to be comfortable now, especially now. I mean, I was like this before, pre-pandemic, but I just think that America's going to side with wear the pajamas wherever you...
But pajamas are not the only comfortable item of clothing that you can wear. Have you ever tried to go out to eat in your pajamas?
I wouldn't do that.
Oh, okay, so you draw the line then.
Well, I guess that's a lie. It depends where we're eating.
McDonald's?
Yeah, if we happen to go to a place like that, sure. But if it's like a sit-down restaurant, it's a nice meal, I wouldn't do that.
So then you upgrade to sweatpants?
Yeah, at least.
Oh,
or yoga pants.
I mean, I thought I knew you. Here I am feeding you treats for 2 years. I thought I knew you, and this is what happens.
The treats are delicious.
It's all gone downhill from here. A couple of your funny responses on Twitter. So Lou says, I personally don't wear PJs at all, but in my local grocery store on a Saturday or Sunday morning, it's 35% in PJs for shopping. People walking around my neighborhood with PJs, 45%. There's no doubt that number's gone up over the course of the pandemic, because let's be honest. There were 2.5 months there where I didn't wear anything but sweatpants or shorts once it got warm enough. But I mean, I can understand why when you're quarantining or isolated at home, you're not likely to be getting all dressed up. I remember the first time I came back to work, though, I had to remember, wait, what do I wear to work? I had to think about, where are my work shoes? Because I had moved in the middle of that. And I also I hadn't worn jewelry other than the one ring I never take off. I hadn't worn jewelry in 3 months. I hadn't put on makeup, any kind of makeup. I don't wear a lot, but I hadn't put on any kind of makeup in 3 months. And going to the grocery store was a dress-up day because I wore jeans. I mean, that's kind of what it was like. So I understand walking around your neighborhood in PJs during the pandemic, but come on, to go to work... I already told producer Dave, if I ever see him show up in pajamas, we're going to have a throwdown. But how about school? Now, he says his kids go to school in their PJs when they're going to school. My mom, she teaches at a school in Houston. They're in person. They've been in person since August. And I've gone to school with her before. Kids legit wear their slippers. I mean, I see kids in their slippers all the time. And I think Uggs kind of blurred that line, because they look like slippers and yet they're not. And then you have moccasins with the hard bottoms, but they have a dress code, so you're not allowed to wear pajamas there. And I just saw this from Coach DeLiegro, I hope I said that right, on Twitter. No way would I allow my students to come into my classroom wearing PJs. School policy prohibits them. High schoolers would surely wear them if they could. Not up in my class. So he's drawing the line on pajamas in school. I think it's a fun conversation, one that I was not anticipating, because I really did not expect to hear this from producer Dave. I mean, you could have like knocked me over with a feather wow. What about the rest? What about your wife? Is she the same way?
No, she will only wear them around the house.
All right. My wife is my new favorite member of your family. Okay. God. Okay, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Man, funny, funny tweets that I'm getting so far. But I feel like I need to get back to more pressing matters for now. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. We'll get back to your comments because you're making me laugh now this morning. It's a Thursday. Happy Thursday to you. It is definitely good to have you with us. It's been a pretty serious discussion over the course of the last couple of hours, and I want to kind of pick it up with some of the big storylines you may have missed from last night. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS, and then on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also, there's no judging here. I mean, again, this United States of America, we're adults, so we get to choose what we wear in public if, like I said, the business allows it. I'm not judging you. I'm mostly judging Dave, not the rest of you. Just I'm kidding. In the grand scheme of things, if this is our biggest concern, I feel like we're doing okay. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you went to bed or you weren't paying attention to what was happening in the NBA last night, some potentially devastating news. And I really can't get past the fact that Klay Thompson just spent a year and a half rehabbing, recovering, preparing to get back on the basketball court. That's all he wants to do. he's really clear about that. Chomping at the bit. The man has posted videos about how healthy he is and how excited he's been, how he couldn't wait to play hoops again. But yesterday afternoon, he was playing pickup in LA with some other NBA guys and landed on his right leg, instantly felt pain in his calf, and could not put weight on his leg from that point forward. This is before the Warriors drafted. And as you can imagine, as the word spreads throughout their organization, and you may have seen it spread like wildfire on social media, there are initial reports that it's a serious Achilles injury. That is the fear of the Warriors, but it has not been confirmed. And so, I saw it out there. I get it. I mean, that's the fear. But we won't know anything until the tests have been run today. The Warriors, though, thought it serious enough that they didn't want Klay Thompson to go through the MRI and the testing solo. So several of the members of their organization, I don't know which ones, but several of them have flown to Los Angeles to be with him today. And it's devastating from a league standpoint because he is an elite superstar, a shooter, a defender. He's one of the best two-way guards in the league. He's the perfect complement to the goofy, I mean, yes, Steph Curry has a killer instinct, but he's goofy and he's funny and he's so demonstrative and he's charismatic. And here's Klay Thompson, who's steady Eddie, and yet he's a killer in his own right. And he will cut your heart out. He's that competitive, and yet he's so different. He's, strangely enough, a superstar glue guy. You don't see many of those. A lot of times glue guys are more of the role players, maybe the ones who've been around for a long time. They've got the veteran presence, the experience. They're willing to take a back seat. Klay Thompson is a glue guy. He's none of the drama of Draymond, and he doesn't even care if the spotlight is on him. But man, when Klay Thompson is in that locked in mode, when Klay Thompson's in the zone, I guess is what I was meaning to say, you can't take your eyes off him. I mean, he's one of the best shooters the league has ever seen, and he shares a backcourt with Steph Curry, and yet when Klay is locked in, there's nobody better. And so he's perfect for that team. He loves Golden State. He loves the Warriors. And, you know, by all accounts, it's been killing him to not be able to play. Here we are weeks away from the NBA season tipping off. This guy who hasn't been able to play since June of 2019. And it just guts me. I'm being serious. I'm not being facetious. I'm not exaggerating. It really, I have this pit in my stomach ever since I heard it. And I'm hoping, I've already prayed for him. I'm hoping beyond hope that because he's so healthy and because he's a, you know, superstar athlete in great shape, that this is not as serious as they fear, because it would suck. It would suck for the league. It would suck for me personally as a fan of Klay, but mostly the human element here. To be in the space where you are so close to getting back to everything that you have worked for and everything you care about, and to have it cruelly yanked away like this, certainly many of us can identify with that feeling and that emotion. And that kind of pain. And so we'll wait on Thursday. I know me, and when I fall asleep on Thursday, I'm going to be nervous that, you know, the first time I pick up my phone after waking up, there's going to be an alert about Klay Thompson and about his status. And I mean, I'm so upset for him, hoping that it's not the case. Steve Kerr did cancel interviews that he was supposed to do around the draft, presumably because he didn't want to talk about this. But general manager Bob Myers spoke when the draft was over, and he was talking about their selection of James Wiseman out of Memphis as their number two overall pick, and just kind of, you know, reflections on the draft. He, of course, had to answer questions about Klay.
I spoke to Klay pretty shortly after, and he was driving home. I don't know what time it was, but listened to what he said, just kind of got our trainers involved, got him on the phone with him. They talked to him and then started setting up a way to find out more information, really. And then I had to get back to the draft. So hard to disengage mentally from it, but we had a lot of stuff going on as far as drafts and trades, potential other things. So I couldn't really let my mind go all the way there. But now the draft's over and we'll find out more tomorrow.
That was General Manager Bob Myers doing his press conference post-draft. And yes, they select James Wiseman and they have a lot of expectations for him, but it doesn't work without Clay. Like, it could be good. They could have a good team. They've got Steph Curry, presumably fully healthy. They were able to give Andrew Wiggins some reps, even with Steph, when Steph returned last year from the, broken hand. Had a broken hand and was out a lot longer than what you would anticipate, but they had no reason to bring him back. In fact, he had only been back a few weeks when the NBA shut down completely, so it was just a weird situation. Draymond was in and out of the lineup, of course, because he was banged up. Let's be honest, the Warriors, that group of Warriors, has played a ton of basketball over the last 5 years before this past season. And then to not see them in the bubble because they had the worst record in the league, I mean, there was something missing. And I know I'm speaking for me, but I am also speaking for a lot of you fans that love the Warriors brand of basketball, that made the Splash Brothers the most watched team by far over the last few years. I mean, they believed internally, and certainly the idea was externally, that last year was the aberration. Last year, because of the loss of Klay Thompson and, you know, the torn ACL, Steph's injury, the fact that KD had also torn his Achilles but had moved on to somewhere else, and they had made these kind of trades. Andre Iguodala was with the Miami Heat. I mean, they made these trades to clear cap space and try to figure out ways to keep their core together. The D'Angelo Russell experiment didn't work. I'm not sure if they were ever fully committed to it, but they really like Andrew Wiggins. They knew they were going to have a high draft pick. They've got role guys. They've got Coach Kerr. I mean, they really believed that last year was going to be just a one-year blip on the radar, and back they would catapult into the realm of contenders, if not a favorite for the NBA championship. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't want to make the entire hour about this, but I feel like this has definitely overshadowed whatever we saw on what is typically a dream come true night for the NBA draft. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, take our poll about PJs in public. Ooh, that's a good hashtag, PJs in public, baby. And we, believe it or not, we really haven't gotten to much football tonight, but we do have week 11 kicking off in mere hours. And so we're going to do a little bit of a preview about this NFC West matchup. And just in general, this show has gone a lot faster than I thought. If you missed my conversation with Sekou Smith, so we talked to Sekou, not so much about the draft, but about some of these moves, potentially Harden going to Brooklyn. Also, what the Milwaukee Bucks are doing and their stated mission, their one goal in life right now. So we'll probably bring back a portion of that interview as well.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Now the Bills drop two men back 25 yards downfield. Murray back to throw, flushed out, rolling left in trouble, slips a tackle, got to launch it. He does. Left side, into the end zone, jump ball, and it is. Is it caught? Is it caught? Oh my goodness, it's caught! DeAndre Hopkins caught it! He caught it for a touchdown with 1 second left! I can't believe it! You've got to be joking me! Hopkins reaches up with three defenders around him and pulls it in, and the Cardinals lead it 32-30 with a second left.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
One of the hallmark moments of the NFL season, and we're not even done. We've got a third of the regular season still to play, and yet that is a moment you will see over and over. Kyler Murray to DeAndre Hopkins, an incredible call from Dave Pasch on the Cardinals radio network. But there is no time to rest on your laurels if you're the Cardinals. And for the Seattle Seahawks, man, they are desperate to get a win. It didn't come as abruptly, that's the word I'm searching for, as the loss for the Bills against the Cardinals. But the Seahawks were stewing slowly against the Los Angeles Rams last weekend. Another brutal day for Russ with three turnovers. We talked about how he's got 10 turnovers going back to week 7, which is so uncharacteristic of him. But when was the last time you heard Russ's name as part of the MVP conversation? He knows it. We know it. But he's determined that this is is not going to be the end of him, his season, or the Seattle Seahawks and their campaign to make the postseason.
I don't want to overcomplicate it. You know, I think that we've still been able to do some great things, but you know, I think just staying focused on what the mission is right now. You know, I'm so focused on this week. You know, no matter how good it is or how tough it is, you know, you always got to be in the moment right now. You know, and so I'm looking forward to this week. I'm looking forward to this practice we have today. I'm looking forward to getting after it and you know, and playing great this week.
Russell Wilson didn't have that same lilt and excitement in his voice, that energy that we identify with him right after the game on Sunday. But it took a couple days, and he righted the ship. This is what he does. He talked about how you keep swinging, and I'm going to stay confident in myself, and I'm going to believe that as a team that we are going to be able to pull ourselves out of this funk. Now, you know what the NFC West looks like. It's three teams. All of them at 6-3. And then the Niners, of course, are just below 500 in the basement of that division. But tonight, to kick off week number 11, we've got two of these 6-3 teams. And it's Arizona, who's coming off this fantastic win that catapults you to the highest of highs, the incredible adrenaline of that type of a moment that you don't forget, versus the Seahawks, who, you know, have taken their lumps the last couple weeks. So you've got two completely different trajectories to get into this week 11 clash. And Cliff Kingsbury, not still celebrating, but...
It's obviously easier to, you know, get back going on a short week after a win like that than if it hadn't worked out as well. So I think our guys are excited. It's a tough turnaround. Anytime you have these Thursday night games, everybody understands that, knows that. So we're trying to be smart and have great mental work this week and prepare for a hungry Seattle team up at their place.
Yeah, no doubt. Hungry is the perfect way to describe the Seahawks now. They had a comfortable lead atop the division. It is completely gone, and they can't afford to be dropping these games in division. I mean, you think about it, it's going to be one of those divisions where essentially they're all kind of scratching and clawing and fighting against each other, a war of attrition in that division. Now, for Pete Carroll and his defense, the Seahawks, obviously, they're giving up historic yards and points like we've never seen in the league before in terms of the number of yards per game. And it's a completely different test. I mean, could you imagine two offenses that are more different? I guess there could be two, but it's different to first game plan for the Rams and what Jared Goff brings to the table, and then to game plan for Kyler Murray and the way that he runs the Cardinals offense, the way that Cardinals offense is built. So you want to talk about two pretty stiff tests in the span of a week.
This is a very difficult team we're playing. These guys are challenging on both sides of the football, schematically, athletically. They got a lot of juice on offense, and you know, Kyler Murray is a fantastic football player that really you can't keep your eyes off him when you're watching them play. He's one of those guys, and so you know we've seen it before earlier this year that he's got a lot of magic to him. So we got to do a nice job with him, and boy, they got all kinds of guys we're dealing with. So it's a quick turnaround. Our guys are fired up to go for it, and we always love playing on Thursday night.
So says Pete Carroll. We always love playing on Thursday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So you've got week 11 kicking off in hours in the Pacific Northwest. And then coming up on Sunday, the NFL on CBS slate features two of the AFC's best going head-to-head. Derrick Henry and the Titans. Haven't seen them since a week ago Thursday. They battle Lamar Jackson's Ravens, who also are desperate for a win. Well, desperate might be overstating it a bit, but they definitely don't want to fall much farther behind the Steelers. Speaking of Pittsburgh, the Steelers looking to avoid the upset against the Jaguars on Sunday. It all begins with the NFL today at noon Eastern. That's 9 a.m. Pacific. The NFL is on CBS. So I mentioned the numbers, just the total number of yards that are being given up by the Seattle Seahawks defense, which is interesting. I'll choose my word carefully. I guess it stands in stark contrast to what Jamal Adams was talking about. You know, this defense is so bad and could go down as in history in terms of the number of yards given up per game. And yet Jamal Adams spent time on the All Things Covered podcast talking about how bad the atmosphere was in New York and that he was depressed and that he couldn't wait to get out of there. It was toxic. His mentals were affected. And then now he's on a defense that seemingly can't stop my 98-year-old grandmother. So right now, the Seahawks are giving up 448.3 yards per game. I mean, if I'm Kyler Murray, my eyes are lighting up.
I don't really pay attention to those stats. I'm not a big stat guy. You know, this is the NFL. They have elite players. You know, it's any given Sunday, Thursday, Monday, you can be beat. And, you know, for me, I just got to go out there. I have to play well in order for us to win.
I'm not a big stat guy, he says. I'm a big stat guy, so I'll be the stat guy for the two of us. This is kind of funny, and it's only maybe noticeable to me because I was paying attention to these stats before week 10. The Seahawks actually have dropped below the 30-point threshold in terms of points allowed per game. So their yards are still far and away the most in the NFL, but they're only allowing 29.6 points per game. Dallas Cowboys, who were off last week, they're still tops in the league or worst in the league, I guess, depending upon your perspective, 32.2 points per game. And then the Seattle Seahawks have dropped. If I'm not mistaken, they were second or third last week. I think they were third last week because the Jaguars were in second. But now they're only in fifth, and they're below that 30-point threshold. But in terms of yards per game, there is no one within 30 yards of them in terms of how much they're allowing. So, yeah, you would expect that Kyler Murray would have some room, some space, would be able to create. That man can stop and turn on a dime. I mean, he's dazzling in terms of his skills. We know that to be sure. So I'm looking forward to this game. I can't imagine or couldn't have imagined maybe a month ago the Seahawks dropping three in a row with the way that Russell Wilson was playing. But we'd seen this defense cracking. I mean, we saw the cracks in the dam, so to speak. We knew that they were vulnerable. It just, you had a Russell Wilson and a Tyler Lockett, a DK Metcalf, and you had a ground game that they were relying on. And that's a major part of the issue. And so we have found out that Chris Carson is unlikely to play again on this Thursday night, which is another not just fantasy piece, but critical piece for them. And so they've used, I mean, how many different running backs? They should have Carlos Hyde playing for the first time since he and Carson, they both got injured in week 7. So Carlos Hyde is expected to be back. DJ Dallas, he's a rookie. Yes, he's a rookie who's been out there as well. And they need the defense to carry its weight. That's really the piece of this equation that has been missing. And so it's a tall order against Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. PJs in public is the poll. I don't have any idea. I can't even remember how we stumbled on this. Brad Heller, can you hear me, sir?
I can.
Do you wear your pajamas to the grocery store?
Sweats, yes, but pajamas, no.
I like how he says it. Dave, that was for you. No.
It's okay.
Yeah, sweats are different than plaid fleecy pajamas, in my opinion.
Although I wouldn't be opposed to it. I should say that. I haven't done it before. I wouldn't be opposed.
Oh, so why don't you try it and get back to us? Let us know how it goes.
Absolutely. I mean, I've actually used that as a Halloween costume. When I worked in elementary school, I wore pajamas and said I was a couch potato. So that worked.
That's cute. Awesome. Okay, well, you try the experiment because I'm not going to.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Harden's got four to shoot.
Step back right for a three, and it's good. 39 for James Harden. And the reigning MVP gives the Rockets an 11-point lead.
That step back is a thing of beauty.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Potential foreshadowing there. Chris Carino is the voice of the Nets radio network, and that Harden triple was good against Brooklyn going back to January of 19, right? So we had to search, but we found one. And so James Harden could soon be a member of the team for which Chris Carino calls games if Harden has his own way. Catch my drift. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We had a chance to catch up with Sekou Smith of NBA TV and NBA.com in the wake of the draft, but also in the wake of the moves that are being made, and I talked to him about Klay Thompson as well. I just want to bring back a portion of the conversation. The rest you can get on our podcast. But he had some interesting ideas about Harden trying to force his way out of Houston. And so we'll pick it up there. I asked him, what are the chances that Harden teaming up with Irving and KD actually gets done?
I wish, you know, I had the ultimate crystal ball, because I would love to see what that looks like just from an experimentation standpoint. We've seen big threes before. I don't think we'd have, would ever have seen something that interesting, that group of guys put together, where Kyrie and James Harden obviously are ball-dominant players, and you want them to have the opportunity to do what they do best, and they need the ball in their hands. Kevin Durant has shown you that he can go and play in an environment where he's not dominating the ball, you know, like some people think. If it happens, believe me, there's no more interesting place in the basketball universe in Brooklyn, because there would be so much attention paid to those guys and those personalities, and whether or not Steve Nash and his staff will be able to get them to coexist and ultimately chase a championship, which the Nets, to their credit, it's very rare you see a team go through the kind of upheaval they have and come out of it and be absolutely forceful in their belief that they got a chance to win it all.
And then we also know, or we think we know, that Russell Westbrook wants out of Houston as well. But if you look at it from the Rockets' standpoint, they don't actually have to do anything. When a player demands or asks to be traded and it becomes public, is there any way that a team can weather that storm and not actually acquiesce to those requests?
Sure. We've seen it in the past when guys have demanded trades or come out publicly and said they want to go elsewhere and it doesn't happen. Famously, I remember there was a moment when Kobe Bryant was talking about wanting to leave the Lakers. And Dr. Jerry Buss was adamant that he was not going to be trading Kobe anywhere. certainly that ended up, you know, changing for the better for the Lakers. I just feel like now, in this day and age, since the decision, when players make up their mind that they want to go elsewhere, it's really hard to see it ending up any other way. The Rockets don't have to do anything, as you mentioned, you know, and I know that they've made it clear that they're willing to go to uncomfortable places, you know, for these guys to stick around and try and work it out. But if they don't believe in what's going on in Houston anymore, it's going to be really difficult for the Rockets to make it work.
I suppose there's always the possibility that instead of sending him to Brooklyn, where he wants to go, that they could send him to a different franchise. So stick with me here, a little bit like what happened with Kawhi Leonard a couple of years ago. Kawhi wanted to go from San Antonio to Los Angeles. Instead, the Spurs sent him to Toronto.
Yeah, Kawhi, he got his wish with a detour and a championship in Toronto. So if you're that team that's the middleman in a scenario like that, that might be a benefit to you. I just, you know, I think we've gotten to the point, Amy, that when these elite players make up their minds and decide they want to do something, it becomes a deal for their incumbent teams. Really, what's the point in fighting it? What's, you know, what good will it do you in the long run to stand in the way of it? I thought New Orleans did that with Anthony Davis.
Right.
When we found out a year early, you know, that, hey, you know, AD wants out. Is it going to happen or not? You know, and it does. And the Lakers had to give up the house to get him. Now, the Lakers got exactly what they wanted. They got AD and a championship ultimately. But the New Orleans Pelicans certainly, as we saw on draft night, are still reaping the benefits of trading AD.
Sekou Smith from NBA.com, NBA TV, and the Hang Time podcast with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. What do you like about Chris Paul to the Phoenix Suns?
I love it for Devin Booker, and I love it for some of the other young guys to learn from one of the best in the business. Chris Paul, for whatever you want to say about him, he's shown himself to be such a professional that wherever he goes, he's dragging the culture with him of that organization to the next level. He's going to make them a factor. He's going to put them in the playoffs, and he's going to make sure that they become you know, one of those teams that you look at and say they've got a fighting chance because of the leadership and the play of Chris Paul. And when you have a young, budding superstar like Devin Booker, really the only thing that he's lacked is the opportunity to show us what he can do on that playoff stage consistently. Maybe this is now the point of his career with Chris Paul, you know, at the controls, where Devin Booker takes off and goes to that next level.
And certainly we were all dazzled by what we saw from Booker and the Suns in the bubble when they went 8-0 and just missed out on the postseason. And how about the marriage of Drew Holiday and the Bucks? We're not quite sure about the other piece yet, but if that goes through, what do you like?
Well, you got to love a guy like Drew Holiday as, you know, the conduit piece for Milwaukee, because you give Chris Middleton an opportunity to play what might be his more natural role as the third guy in that alignment in a playoff scenario. And Drew takes a ton of pressure off Giannis and everybody else, because you know he's got a ball handler and a shot creator for himself and everybody else. And you alleviate that pressure off Giannis and Chris Middleton, which has really been the thing that's held them up the past couple of years from getting to where they wanted to go in the postseason.
It's interesting, though, because so much of what the Bucks are doing right now is to try to keep Giannis in town. I know you don't have a crystal ball, but that matchup, that pairing, is it one that can be profitable long-term in Milwaukee?
You got to believe so if you're the Bucks, and we'd be naive to think that the Bucks are doing anything without consulting, you know, their two-time MVP and making sure that the moves they're making coincide with whatever he believes is best for his future, if it is with the Bucks. I think there's no other mission right now in Milwaukee than Operation Keep Giannis, and I've been saying that. There's nothing else on the to-do list for the organization other than making sure that you hold on to the guy who's helped you become one of the, you know, best franchises in the league the past couple of years in terms of success. Because of his presence.
And certainly a one that brings a lot of eyeballs to Milwaukee. So the eyeballs that weren't there before.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, and they've had good teams in Milwaukee. But, you know, we're talking about a guy who's won back-to-back MVPs and vaulted that franchise into a completely different stratosphere by becoming one of the league's best players. And Giannis, I keep telling people, Giannis is just a pup when you think about his game and where it could go in the future. He's only scratched the surface of how good he could be. I'm not saying he's got four or five more MVPs to win, but I'm saying as a player, just his game and what he can do. His offensive game is just now going to get to the point where he can really expand it. And if you have a player like Drew Holiday, that would allow him to do so much more. He'd be catching and reacting and finishing so much more than he has in the past, because he'd have a player of that caliber with the ball in his hands.
Sekou Smith of NBA TV and NBA.com, a couple of really, really, I think, critical points that he made. And we were just there talking about the Bucks. Every move that Milwaukee management is considering is being run through Giannis. And Sekou says no other mission right now in Milwaukee other than Operation Keep Giannis. There's nothing else on the to-do list for that organization. But I also thought it was really interesting what he said about Kobe Bryant. I do not remember Kobe asking for a trade out of Los Angeles. I don't remember that at all. And yet the management, Jerry Buss, of course, was the architect and the spearhead of all those Lakers champions before he passed away. He said no, he drew a hard line. And would the Rockets do that even if it meant that James Harden is unhappy and that it could potentially put them another year behind whatever rebuilding project? Now, they hope to rebuild around James Harden, but there's no guarantee they can convince him. There was no convincing Kawhi Leonard to change his mind when he decided he wanted out of San Antonio. You may remember that Greg Popovich went to Los Angeles to talk to him in person back when you could actually talk to people in person. And he tried to convince him. He sat down with him. He had dinner with him. And Kawhi, he said, no way. I want out. I'm done here. And so they sent him to Toronto. Now, it worked out great for Kawhi Leonard, and he ultimately got to Los Angeles. What might Houston do if it decides that the situation with James Harden and Russell Westbrook is untenable? It's tough for a new coach and a new general manager to inherit that situation as well, though obviously they're both all-stars in their own rights. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line, always 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. If you rent your home, Geico makes it easy to bundle renters and car insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. You guys are killing me with your comments and your GIFs about producer Dave in his pajamas at the grocery store. So we're doing a PJs in public poll. And as producer Dave said, and I quote, just moments ago, man, they're all siding with you. They're not siding with me. So how do you feel about that? 81% right now are saying no way to PJs in public.
The public is doing it all wrong. They need a talking to. You're not comfortable. You're just not.
You're going to give them a what for?
Yeah, I don't know what you're doing. You got to dress up. You got to wear dress pants and a dress shirt to go to the grocery store.
No, but maybe not your less restrictive PJs. Let's see. Maddie on Twitter. I wear my PJs in public like it's my wardrobe, especially my Golden State PJs.
Oh, there's my guy. He's got the wrong team, but that's okay.
And then Steven sent us a GIF of you actually dancing in your PJs before you go to the grocery store. So I retweeted that so that people can see what producer Dave looks like when he goes out to do his shopping. So that's on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. Jeffrey says, I showed up in pajamas, but I'll stay for the NFL. I don't even know what that means, but I think it's funny. And oh, Rosendo wants you to know that you have his permission to go to the store in just your underwear if that's what you would like to do. Please don't.
No, I think we're good. We're going to draw the line of pajamas.
I feel like I just have gotten comfortable with you as the producer, and I don't really want you to embarrass me or the company and get yourself fired. So please, please don't. Austin says the mental discomfort of wearing them in public offsets the physical comfort.
You got to be okay with it.
This is good stuff. Anyway, so find our poll on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on Facebook. I love it. It's PJs in public time. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.